You have found the Drop Podcast, recorded live at the spacious STL All Sports Radio Studios. The Drop is an unbiased, in-depth hockey podcast dedicated to the St. Louis Blues and all the hot topics within the NHL. So tell the ref, you don't mind the game misconduct penalty. You were headed to the locker room anyway to listen to The Drop. Here's your host, Lance Descott.
This is The Drop, and I am your host, Lance Descott. Welcome back to another episode. We're going to be going over the Blues versus Devils game, which was played on December 15th at Scott Trade Center. We all know the Blues have not had great success on the road this year. They're coming off a road trip that was 1-3. They didn't look good in most of the games. They were hoping some home cooking would do them some good. They come home for three games against the Devils, against the Blackhawks, a big division rival, and then against Edmonton, who has improved, and then they go on the road for two games against Tampa and Dallas. So the Blues really need to play well in this homestand. We were hoping for a quick, out-of-the-gate play from the Blues. It didn't start that way. The Devils would get on the board first. In fact, the Blues would get a power play, but it would be the Devils that would score a shorthanded goal on that power play.
Away by Zajac, shorthanded, able to feed Adam Henrique. Here's Henrique shorthanded, he scores! A shorthanded goal by Adam Henrique, and the Devils take the lead in St. Louis.
Well, what a start for the Devils here. And Adam Henrique, we've seen that in the past so often, and that's something that could really spark him. What a beautiful play by Zajac, and Ben Lovejoy watches pass. Adam Henrique knocks it out of midair, hunts on the back of him, but he's able to go to the backhand and go upstairs. Jake Allen gets a little piece of it.
This play was started in the Blues end when Tarasenko would fan on a shot. The Devils would bring it out, and it would be some hard work by Henrique and Zajac, and Henrique just knocked that puck out of the air and basically controlled and put it in the net behind Jake Allen. Jake got a little piece of it, but couldn't get all of it. And the Devils take the lead at 7:49 into the first period. As I said, it was a shorthanded goal. It was Henrik's seventh goal of the season. Zajac, 14th assist. And the Devils are really looking for some good things from Henrik. They expect him to score more than he has been, and he gives them the lead 1-0. That 1-0 lead would be added on to a couple minutes later on this goal by Miles Wood.
Here's Henrik shooting, looking for a second of the game. They score! It came off the backboard! Miles Wood, second National Hockey League goal.
Well, this line just put together, Miles Wood, with Kyle Palmieri, Adam Henrique, and Henrique's been involved in both goals, and good to see Miles Wood, who's had a lot of opportunities. Time now for our $1 million replay brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. Remember, anything can happen in Jersey. Shoot the puck, get it toward the net. That's what Henrique did. It banks off the backboards, and there's Miles Wood, his speed as he beats Hunt, the defenseman.
Not much Jake Allen could do on this one, guys. You know, he may have played it a little bit too strong to his right side of the goal, but I don't think even if he had played this properly, he would have been able to stop this. And the puck comes right off the board to Miles Wood, and there's no mistaking on this one. Wide open net on Jake's left side. Miles Wood's second goal, Henrik involved in it, of course, his ninth assist, and Palmieri gets his 10th assist, and that was at 11:36 into the first period. New Jersey takes a 2-0 lead. You know, the Blues aren't playing terrible. You know, there was a breakdown on the Adam Henrique goal, but I don't think there's too much anybody can say about the second goal going in. It was just one of those lucky goals that a guy gets right on his stick with an open goal. You know, not much Jake Allen or the Blues could do on that one. The Blues continued to stick to their game, didn't change anything. I don't think Hitchcock changed any lines. The Blues kept pushing, and their hard work would pay off on this awesome, awesome shot by Vladimir Tarasenko. Not many guys can do this.
Now the Blues get set up with 35 to go in the power play. Schwartz for Tarasenko. And then a shot. He scores! Tarasenko!
I'm not sure what he saw or how quick he had to make that decision, but that stunned me. Stunned me that he fired it. I think it stunned Palmieri. On the goal line hash marks, look, it buzzes by the ear of the defenseman Andy Green, and he's like, I got something here. And he fanned on the first power play that led to the shorthanded goal against on the other side of the ice. He wasn't missing this one. That is some kind of shot.
It was some kind of shot, and I hope everybody got to see that. If you haven't got to see it, go to NHL.com or blues.nhl.com, and you will be able to see a great, great goal by a great goal scorer, one of the top goal scorers in the NHL. It would be Tarasenko's 15th goal. It was a power play goal, assisted by Schwartz, his 8th, and Hunt, his 3rd assist. And that was 17:06 into the first. And it brings the Blues back, you know, to some respectability there. You know, you didn't want this getting out of control like the Predators game, and the Blues weren't going to let this get out of control. They head to the locker room after the first period, just down 2-1, looking much better. We all need them to come out quickly in the second period, and they were able to do that just a couple minutes in, and they tied the game on this goal by Jori Lehterä.
Handled by Shattenkirk. A lot nice more pass.
Yep, stretch passes. More in the second here for the Blues.
Now for Fabry. He scores! Robbie Fabry ties the game at 2.
Three times to begin this period, the Blues have utilized a stretch pass off the boards, much like what John Hines and the Devils did in the first. And now the Blues tie this game up. There's the pass. Nice pass by Tarasenko to Lehterä. Little backhander. Look at this little wrister. Oh, what traffic. No reaction from Fabry. The arms don't go up whatsoever. He goes to celebrate with his teammates. The old way. Redirection by Lehterä. That's how it snuck through Schneider. And Lehterä will get the goal.
Great tip in by Lehterä right in front of the net. We need some more goals from this guy. He's great in front of the net. He shows flashes of being really good. Then he shows flashes of not really showing up. But, man, he played pretty good in this game. It was his 4th goal. Fabry got an assist, his 10th of the year. And Tarasenko adds to his scoring and gets another assist at 21. He is one of the top points per game guy. I think he's number 2 in the league, with over a point a game average. And it ties the game at 2-2. And it's just 2:05 into the second period. You kind of get the feeling the Blues are going to take this game over. They continue to press hard. New Jersey put some pressure on Jake Allen, but it wasn't sustained pressure like we've seen against the Predators. And the Blues would take an even further move forward with this goal by Alex Pietrangelo.
Again, Zacha does not have a stick. Played back to Shattenkirk. He'll leave it for Tarasenko. To the net, back door! And Pietrangelo with a tap-in birdie, and it's 3-2.
The Russian forward for New Jersey has got no twig. And now you're playing it, collapse that 4-on-3 down low. Keep your eye on the left side of your screen. That is the captain, Alex Pietrangelo. And you're right, that is a tap-in birdie right there. And it's our Jimmy Johns delivery. It comes from 91, right on the doorstep. Oh, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming indeed. This goal, guys, was caused basically because of the New Jersey player Zacha not having a stick. Put them at a huge disadvantage if it was 5-on-5, but it was 4-on-4 due to penalties. And it put them at even more of a huge disadvantage. And Alex Pietrangelo just waiting on the side of the net for that pass from Tarasenko. And there's no mistake in that one. You could see the smile on Pietrangelo's face after that goal. That would be Pietrangelo's 6th goal of the year. Tarasenko, another point, 22. Assist on the year. Shattenkirk gets his 15th assist, and it was 7:45 into the second period, and the Blues take a 3-2 lead. The period would have some very good play from both teams. New Jersey didn't give up. They continued trying to put pressure on Jake Allen. The Blues continued to put pressure on Corey Schneider of the Devils, but weren't able to add any more goals, and the second period would end 3-2. Going into the third period, both teams come out. I'd say they were playing about the same with the same intensity. No team had a huge advantage, but the Blues would get on the board even further on the strange goal by Nelly Yakupov.
Defense now picked up by Stasny. He comes in. Devils back off a bit. Yakupov a shot. He scores! Yakupov! And it's 4-2!
It's an odd one. That's for sure. A flutterer as he takes the pass from Stastny. Stastny buys some time. The shot hits number 6, Andy Green's stick. Watch that. Or his leg flips up there. That's top corner. Not the way you usually fire it, but it was good speed through the middle, and I thought Stastny did an excellent job.
Strange goal. looked like a curveball. Yakupov shot it. It went off Andy Green's stick and just fluttered high in the air over Corey Schneider's head and glove, and it gave the Blues a 4-2 lead. It was Yakupov's third goal of the year, assisted by Stasny. Stasny put in some hard work on that goal, and it was 9 minutes into the third period. The Blues would keep that lead, and then with about 2 minutes left, a little over 2 minutes, New Jersey removed Corey Schneider from the game for the extra attacker. But the Blues would get the final say and get an empty net goal by Patrick Berglund.
Devils put it in the slot. Severson lost it, and Berglund has an empty net, and he will miss. And it's 5-2. Berglund's second of the year.
Now the big Swede makes a good play inside his blue line on the left side. He runs over his man. Now he gets up and eliminates that one-timer from Severson. And off to the race. It takes a couple of pokes there from Palmieri, but he rifles it into the empty net.
Berglund gets the empty netter and gives the Blues a 5-2 win, a much-needed win. You know, they, like I said, they hadn't looked good on the road. They needed some home cooking, and that home cooking worked well for them. It was Berglund's second goal of the year, and of course it was unassisted. It was at 18:39 into the third period, so about a minute 21 left, and the Blues win this one 5-2. Let's go ahead and go over some of the stats of the game before we hear from Tarasenko and then Yakupov and, of course, Coach Hitchcock as to how the Blues played and why they were able to take this one from the Devils. The Blues improved to 17-10-4. The Devils fall to 12-11-6. Shots on goal, 26 for the Devils, 31 for the Blues. Devils had two power play opportunities, did not convert on any of them. The Blues had four and converted on one for a 25% percentage. The Devils had control of the faceoff was 55%, and the Blues had 45%. Let's go back over the goals. Henrik for the Devils got a shorthanded goal, number seven, and also got an assist. Wood got a goal, his second of the year. Palmieri got an assist, and Zajac got an assist. Schneider made 26 saves. On the Blues side, Tarasenko gets a power play goal, his 15th, and also gets two assists. Yakupov gets a goal, his third of the year, on that strange knuckleball goal that went off a green stick. Laterra gets the awesome tip-in that they initially gave to Fabbri, but it was definitely Laterra's goal, his fourth of the year. Petrangelo, on that great pass from Tarasenko when they were 4-4, gets a goal, his sixth of the year. Berglund gets the empty netter to round the scoring off to make it 5-2, his second goal of the year, and Allen gets 24 saves. So the Blues look pretty good in this game. I know New Jersey's not the greatest team, but they have some good players such as Tyler Hall. Let's go ahead and hear from the Blues players, Tarasenko and Yakupov, and also Coach Hitchcock on the interviews after the game.
It was really important for us to get a win today because we knew New Jersey have a good team, and especially after the last couple tough losses for us on the road, I think we do a pretty good job tonight. And, you know, we have tough opponents coming now, and, you know, we need to win this game, so we try to prepare for it. And it's always nice to have 2 points at home.
And just keep playing well at home, something you guys are doing right here, huh?
Yeah, fans help us a lot, and I feel like we feel more confident here, so now we have job to do to figure out why our road record is not really good. And you know, feel pretty good about our team this year, and we still have a lot of time. And you know, we believe in our work, believe in our coaching stuff, and you know, we try to stay as close as we can together to win the games like this.
The shot you were able to score, just you have some time and space there to take a good shot.
Jaden make a nice screen, and you know, he was right on time there, so I try to shoot high glove, and not good as goes in.
Yeah. Did you hear you say on the Jumbotron that was a set play with Petrangelo?
Not a kind of set play, but you know, like when you play 4-on-4, it's not more like more creative game. And we have a really good players like Alex, and you know, he can read the game well. So if he gets open, it's easier to get a puck to him.
Really excited because I was on a different line today in the morning skating, and when I came in, Paris said, "Go look at the board." So, you know, I mean, I think in this team, it doesn't matter who you're going to play, but just I thought, like, when I'm going to be with this guy, so I'm going to play more, and it's got to be a really smart game, and really we have to stay focused on our system and do everything what Hitch said. And I think we did a pretty good job today. We skated really hard, and, you know, sometimes it was really, really hard, but I think we pushed it through, and that's why I get 2 points tonight.
How do you think you played? Do you think it was one of your better games?
I think I was. Yeah, I think I played good, and but I don't think I have to talk about my game. But I did everything I could, and I was really excited to play today. And you know, and it's been a while since I played. I think how much I think I had lots of time today on the ice, and you know, and I was really excited about it. So.
One of the more bizarre goals you've ever scored in your career?
No, it doesn't. You just got to shoot the puck and, you know, and see what happens. And the last few games, even like when we play a lot of games, I haven't really had a chance to shoot the puck. And, you know, and right now trying to bring the puck to the net and, you know, I'm trying to find a really good spot to shoot the puck. And I know people I play in this team, and everyone can make really good plays, and you just have to be ready every second. And you know, I think I have a good shot. I just got to use it often.
Yeah, when you know you're going to go into a game and play with Stastny and play with Schwartz, get you a little more excited when you know you're going to go in and play with some scorers. And
yeah, I mean, again, it doesn't matter. I know I'm gonna play the game, and but it's honestly. Doesn't matter who you play. Obviously, I want to play more, and I don't want to sit in the bench, and I don't want to be like watching a game from upstairs. I just want to play, and I mean, and this team and this locker room have been really good, and the guys playing here in a long time, and I mean, and I was excited to play with Schwartz's task, because for me it wasn't really happening often here yet. So, and it was, you know, it was kind of a good day for me today, and I was excited. And you know, I was doubly excited because my mom was here, so, and I think she's happy, so it's good.
I thought the first period was, they were fresh and their pace was high, and as I said to Panger on the TV, their puck movement was ahead of our pressure, so we were going in and they were moving it by us. And then in the second period, which was our best period we played for a long time, we caught up to them and hemmed them in quite a bit. And our pressure game ended up giving us all the scoring opportunities. But we couldn't catch it at the start. As we were trying to get there, they were moving it by us. And I thought the second and third, we did a great job of working through people and that. But we've just, it's a hard game to have to play that way, but the way we're built, we have to play that way. And we're very successful when we do it, but we've been inconsistent on the road. We've had some of the best periods we've played all year of being on the road, and then we followed up with average, and average is allowing the opposition to come back in the games.
Vladdy obviously had a big net offensively, but how big was Letera's goal? It seemed like you made a nice play to get that.
I thought the one that got us going was the first goal. You know, he's not feeling great. He's on for both goals, and then to get one back on the power play kind of just brought us back there. You know, we were kind of, to me, we were off and running after that goal, and it brought him back into the game, started feeling good about himself, and then the line really started to play, especially in the second.
I know you're locked in on picking up points, moving up, but is Tarasenko getting to a point where we can discuss the best player in the league status?
Well, he has the ability to be that because he's got five tools. Oh, and I've said this since training camp. He's one of the best passers in the game. Doesn't get enough credit for it. But he's in a position where if he continues to progress like he is right now, then he's got a chance just from an all-around play standpoint. He's got a real chance. He's got a real chance to be the top guy. I think what's really come around is his all-around game offensively is starting to show up now. He makes as many good plays as he does shooting opportunities. But the part that was good for me was in the third period, he competed defensively. That's a big step. So he wasn't looking. He was willing to work for the next goal if it came. And I think that's just maturity in a player. I think you're starting to see the maturity in a player, which is a really good sign for this franchise.
Yeah, I'll show you something.
Yep. Yeah, he's learning. You know, like he's 50% better than when he was when he first came here. And He did some really good things today that allow him to keep and stay in the lineup. I really liked some of the pressure he put on people without the puck, which is what we're trying to get him to do, and not just count on the scoring a goal here or there, but be a factor in the game. And I thought he had some real good shifts that we can work with him again that show him that you can use your speed as a checking tool. And that to me is where his game's going to be. He's going to be a guy that can really use his speed as a checking tool, and then he's got the ability to make plays when he gets it. But I think when he first came to us, he was waiting for the game to come to him, and that's not the way the NHL works. It works in other leagues, but it doesn't work in our league. You got to go and hunt it down and get it and keep it, and he's starting to learn to do that, which is a real good sign.
Hitch is right. It is a nice sign to see Yakupov grow as a player. He's not quite there yet, but you can see that he's not always thinking of scoring number one. Number two, he is pressuring the player with the puck and getting the puck from that player, which is the Blues game. As Hitchcock said, you know, in the first period, they didn't pressure. Their pressure couldn't catch up to New Jersey. They were moving the puck before the pressure got there. And the second and third periods, if you notice, the Blues were getting pressure on New Jersey before they could move the puck in both ends. And that is the type of game the Blues have to play to be successful. And it's because the type of players that they have, that they've got in. And that's Ken Hitchcock's system, is pressure the puck. You know, when Brett Hall came to Dallas, when Hitchcock was in Dallas, it took Brett a little bit to buy into that. You know, and Brett Hall's even said that. You know, it took him a little bit to buy into that. And, you know, Brett Hall would probably have a lot more goals. And I'm not trying to say this is a negative if it wasn't for Ken Hitchcock in Dallas. But would Brett Hall have a Stanley Cup in Dallas? Maybe not. You know, he learned to play defensively and became more of a two-way player, and it drastically improved his game. He still scored, maybe not at the clip he used to, but Hitchcock turned him into a two-way player, and it also helped him with success later in Detroit. So hopefully we can see that from Yakupov. Hopefully Laterra can improve, and I think this team will grow. It will definitely grow. We've got the goaltending in Jake Allen. We've got a capable backup in Carter Hutton. And this team, you know, the sky's the limit with it. If they play that system, you've seen on the road, they'll play one period of that system and they're really good. And then they play two periods not in the system, and these teams take advantage of it. They've got to improve it on the road. You know, you can't go into the playoffs if you make the playoffs playing this way on the road. The series will not go very far, especially if you don't get home ice advantage. So the Blues have got to start playing better on the road. They've got to start playing a more complete game, and hopefully we'll see that next week when they go on the road for two games after playing Edmonton on Monday. You know, that would be very nice to see. The Blues' next game, of course, is the big game. It would be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, the Blues against the Blackhawks. I don't care what anybody says. You know, everybody tries to put the Rangers and Penguins in as the best rivalry in hockey. I'm sorry. You know, I've been involved in hockey in a long time, and I'll be honest with you. The Rangers and Penguins are an awesome rivalry. I love to watch those games. You know they're going to be physical and hard-hitting, but for my money, the old Blues versus the Red Wings, the Blues versus the Blackhawks, the Blues versus the Stars, Toronto against Canada, you know, Calgary against Vancouver, those are some great rivalries too. But the Blackhawks and Blues have got to be in the top two or three in the league. They have to be. And let's hope we get a great game. It normally is a very good game. Both teams have talented players. And that's what I'm looking for Saturday. And I'm looking for a win. The Blues are at home. They need to keep that home ice advantage, continue to improve at home, even though they've had a great record at home. You start improving at home that when you go on the road, it becomes more natural to play 60 minutes or 55 minutes of a game, a complete game. I know it takes a lot of energy, but that's what they need to do. After that, like I said, they will play Edmonton on Monday. Edmonton's a much improved team. They will have their hands full with Connor McDavid. You know, these guys are good young players. Yakupov will tell you that. And then they go on the road against Dallas on the 20th. And then 22nd, they'll be in Tampa. Got to win those games, guys. I want to see a 2-0. That would be awesome. I want to thank everybody for joining me for another episode of the Drop Podcast. I've been your host, Lance Descott. It's great to have everybody download my podcast, listen to my podcast. And, you know, I do this for you guys, for the love of the game, for the love of the Blues. And I want to thank everybody. But before I leave, I want to go over a few stories within the NHL. Let's go over a few suspensions. Cody Eakin of the Stars, we all know him from our playoffs last year and the Blues playing the Stars, gets suspended for 4 games for his illegal hit on for basically charging Henry Lundqvist. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but it's just ridiculous. It's crazy that somebody would do this. You know, take your lumps, but you know you can't do that to a goalie. Mike Hoffman of the Senators, he gets disciplined for his cross check. I mean, I don't like the Sharks, but you don't want to see anybody cross checking a good player such as Logan Couture or any player. Logan Couture is a pretty good guy. I know a lot of Blues fans aren't going to like to hear that, but he's not a bad guy. And that hit by Hoffman was just nasty, you know, just terribly, terribly nasty, you know. And then Marc-Édouard Vlasic gets his fine in the same incident as the hit on Couture for the use of the stick against Erik Karlsson. He gets a $5,000 fine. So fines being handed out, suspensions being handed out. And we're kind of glad the NHL is taking some stance on that. It's not always fair. It's not always what it should be. And we could talk, you know, probably 3 or 4 hours on the NHL and how they dole out their fines and suspensions. But at least they're taking some type of stance. I hope they improve it in the future. That's it for the Drop Podcast. Come back after the next game. You know, we're here after every game, breaking down the game, breaking down what's going on in the NHL. Have a great rest of your evening.
This has been the Drop Podcast. You can email the Drop at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @OfficialTheDrop. Don't forget to subscribe or download this episode and past episode on iTunes, Stitcher.com, and ShoutEngine.com.